This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Imam Ahmad fi musnadihi bi sanadin hasan an Jabir ibn Abdullah qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith tonight is a collection Imam Ahmad with a reasonable state of narration. I'm going to narrate to you two hadith. And the theme of the etiquettes of salah is still what we're covering. And I'll, if you're just be patient with me for another couple of khawatir, I'll move on to something else, inshallah, you know, sometime end of next week. But I want to get all of them, you know, put in a playlist, inshallah, for the children to benefit from later. And this one here specifically is talking about a topic that, inshallah, has a fiqhi aspect to it as well. So I'll make sure that you're clear on at the end of it. But this is what he said, alayhi salam, in this hadith. قَالَ مَنْ صَلَّى خَلْفَ الْإِمَامِ فَخِرَاءَةُ الْإِمَامِ لَهُ قِرَاءَةً. The one who prays behind an imam, then the qira'ah of the imam is going to be a qira'ah for them. And this is regarding Surah Al-Fatiha. Now, Imam Ahmad also, amongst others, like Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, narrate through Ubadah ibn al-Samit. He said, قَالْ كُنَّ نُصَلِّي خَلْفَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ فَثَقُلَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْقِرَاءَةِ فَقَالَ إِنَّكُمْ تَقْرَؤُونَ خَلْفَ الْإِمَامِ. So we were praying behind the Prophet alayhi sallam one day, and he was reciting, and he wasn't with the same degree of fluency, like or ease, or that he usually recites with. And then at the end of the salah, he turned around and said, some of you recite with the imam? فَقَالُوا نَعَمْ. Yes, we do, Ya Rasulullah. We know the verses, we start reading. فَقَالَ لَا تَفْعَلُوا وَلَا تَقْرَأُوا خَلْفَ الْإِمَامِ إِلَّا بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِهَا. So don't do that. Don't recite behind the imam. Let the imam is reciting, don't read. Except if it's Fatiha, because the one who does, without Fatiha, then there's no salah to begin with. So these two ahadith are the two main pieces of evidence that scholars over the last maybe over the centuries have argued in terms of what you do in salah. We end up with the following opinions that we have. And all of them are valid opinions, and all of them are fine. Which is why I tell people you study a madhab and then pray with that madhab and go with it so that you know how to pray, and you're doing it based on scholarly knowledge and based on evidence derived rulings. So the first one is the position of al-Malikiyya and the Hanabila. So for them, you are not required to recite Surah Al-Fatiha after the imam is done. But if you do it, it's fine. But you're not required. The Maliki say you're not required and it's not necessarily sunnah. I mean, they don't care. Basically, it's in the middle. Hanabila say, but it's better if you have time to do it. The Shafi'iyya say that you must. If you can, you must. Meaning if the imam gives you the time, then you must. If he gives after Ameen a couple of seconds, you should be reciting Surah Al-Fatiha until he starts reading, then you stop. The Hanafiyya say you shouldn't open your mouth. You're not allowed to. Like, you don't say a word. You don't say a word after the imam, whether it's Maghrib and Isha and Fajr or Dhuhr and Asr. Even in Dhuhr and Asr, if the imam is reciting, because the imam is reciting, he's reciting quietly, but he's reciting. So you don't say a word. The Hanafis don't have. And it's all based on the way they understood these ahadith, amongst obviously other pieces of evidence that are similar. I just narrated the two kind of major pieces of evidence, and there's a lot of other ones that and this is based on interpretation. This is, now for me to sit down and explain to you how they interpreted all these pieces of evidence, if you're willing to stay here until 11:30, and take out notebooks and start writing down, and I'll give you a certificate at the end of it, and it'll consider a mini usul/fiqh course. This is why you study and you seek knowledge to actually understand. Okay, how did they arrive at this ruling? What pieces of evidence did they look at? What was the way that they derived what was the way that they actually interpreted this evidence and derived the ruling through? And that's really what knowledge is in Islam. It's understanding how the scholarly minds processed all of this information. So I'm giving you the two ahadith where you could understand it in different ways, and scholars understood it in different ways. So for you, it's really whatever madhab you follow. So if you're Hanafi, then you can stand there quietly as the imam recites. If you're Shafi, the moment the imam says Ameen, you can start reciting. And if the moment he starts reciting the surah afterwards, then you quiet down and let them continue. And there's no haraj, there's no problem whether you follow option A, option B, or option C or D. When it comes to this topic specifically, it's fine. The way the way that I'm praying for salah specifically, this is not the madhab of this masjid, but for salah specifically, I tend to follow the Hanbali way. It's the easiest of them all. I find it for people. It's the easiest of them all in terms of leadership and people behind me. It just makes, there are certain things that if you follow other madhab, become a little bit more strict for the imam, which becomes a little more strict for the ma'mum. So I follow that. And really, their actual reason, and and I've been caught on this before, and someone has figured out. The actual reason is because this is how they pray in the haram. And people who don't have Islamic knowledge in terms of fiqh Islamic knowledge, and have never studied a madhab ever, have a TV, right? And they'll turn on the haram, and they'll watch what they're doing in Mecca and Medina. And that's how they pray there. So it almost became the people's madhab of salah just by watching it all the time. So I prefer in masajid, you just follow what they're doing in Mecca and Medina. It's easier for people behind you because not everyone has actually studied. But you will go, for example, and travel. Many of you like traveling to traveling. So if you travel to Turkey and you enter one of the masajid and the imam is reciting "Wallahin Amin," you'll be the only dude screaming "Amin" in the whole masjid. You'll be the only guy, huh? You'll scream out "Amin," and then after Salafi will be looking at you for quite some time because the Hanafis don't say a word, right? And you're sitting there screaming. So, because you just, it's a matter of understanding how people do things. So, and I'm giving you this example specifically in adab al-salah, as a segue to say amongst the etiquettes of salah, understanding that there are different ways to do some of these things. Some of these details, there are different ways of doing them. So whatever you learn, go ahead, but also understand that there'll be people standing beside you that may have learned it from a different source and do it a little bit differently. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. The stuff that are problematic, we point out. My job is to point out the things that are problematic, that will cause you to lose your prayer or put you in danger. And honestly, none of the rulings of the four schools of jurisprudence will do that to you. All of them are khair. All of them have evidence to support them. All of them are correct. I just wanted to share that with you as a way to kind of look at it, inshallah, in a beneficial manner. يروي الإمام أحمد في مسنده بسند حسن عن جابر بن عبد الله قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من صلى خلف الإمام فقراءة الإمام له قراءة وروى عن عبادة بن الصامت أنه قال كنا نصلي خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فثقلت عليه القراءة فقال إنكم تقرؤون خلف الإمام فقلنا نعم فقال لا تفعلوا لا تقرأوا خلف الإمام إلا بفاتحة الكتاب فإنه لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بها صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله